The Hall in the Orchard. Sit in a comfortable position, relax and quiet your mind. Take some deep breaths and imagine you are breathing in a pale, misty light. Float in this light, which begins to swirl around you. When the mist unfurls, you see confused shapes that resolve into the outlines of gnarled trees with bare twisted boughs. You are walking through an orchard in a dry late autumn season. No fruit or nuts hang on the dry and brittle branches, and a few brown leaves are scattered at their roots. The air is oppressively still, and the only sounds are of your soft footfall on withered grass and the occasional rustle of dead leaves. Then a rush of wings cuts through the silence of this place, and above you a falcon gives a shrill cry. You have a feeling he has been sent as a guide, and so you follow him as he glides over the trees and comes to rest on a tree before an old stone hall, whose crumbling towers appear to be held together only by a mass of ivy. The walls are completely surrounded by a thorny thicket of wild briar roses, so dense you can see no way through. The falcon gives another cry, seeming to urge you onward without delay. So as best you can, you beat down the bushes to make a path through, not without incurring several painful scratches from the sharp thorns as you go. Somewhat out of breath, you disentangle strands of prickly twigs from your hair and gaze about you. You have won through to a courtyard that breathes an air of neglect and decay. Weeds run rampant in the cracks of its once fine paving stones that are littered with rubble from fallen masonry. A dry fountain, its bowl choked with leaves, stands silent in its centre. The heavy oaken door is ajar and creaks in protest as you push it open. At the far end of a long chamber is a huge wooden bed, draped with cloth of gold and surrounded by six white candles. By their light, you can see that the walls are covered with heavy purple hangings. On the bed lies the figure of a crowned king, an aged man with long white straggling hair and beard, and blue-veined hands clasped together on his chest. He lies motionless as if dead, while blood from an unseen wound drips down into a grail beneath the bed and spills over into a channel cut into the stone floor. Behind him is a tall arched window through which can be seen the glow of the setting sun. It shines down on the still figure, bathing his face with a dull red light. In the flickering candlelight, it takes you a while to realize there is another person in the hall, the glimmering white figure of a maiden with pale flaxen hair, who kneels by the bed. She begins to weep and keen a song of deep sorrow. The desolate pain of separation and endless grief for the loss of love are in her voice. Following the rise and fall of her song, you feel as if you are staring into a bottomless pit of misery, and the memory of all the separations and losses you have endured in your own life well up within you. As she sings, The maiden's tears continually fall into a stream of water that flows down through another stone channel in the floor. You realize that you too are weeping for your own pain, for the pain of the earth, for all the sorrow of the world where the two can never be made one, however much love seeks to unite them. Your tears flow down and mingle with hers, and all the sorrow felt throughout time for our suffering world is poured out through these rivers of blood and tears. When it feels as if you can bear no more of this anguish, you are aware that a new light has entered the hall, for the sun has long since set. Through a small window above the door where you entered in, the moon is slowly rising and starting to show her face. Silver beams stream through the hall and illumine the scene around the bed. The maiden arises and stretches out her hands into the moonbeams. She begins to weave them like silvery threads over and about the still figure on the stone bed. Slowly, moving as if in a solemn dance around the king, her hands continually weave the silver threads about him. And as she glides around his body, she begins once more to sing, and this time her song is low and resonant with a deep joy, such as the waves sometimes make on a long shore. You stand there mesmerized by the notes of her song and her continually moving hands, how long you cannot tell. As the maiden's face is brushed, now with light, now shadow, it seems to change from young to mature, to ancient and wrinkled with untold years, and then back again. Perhaps it is a trick of the moonlight, but it seems to you as if she's joined by other figures, as faint as pale shadows that also glide around the motionless figure of the king. And now you notice that he is beginning to change. Although he has not moved, his hair and beard seem to be growing shorter and thicker, while youth and vigor fill out his face and arms. Hardly daring to breathe, lest you break the spell, you watch as he visibly becomes younger and younger, while the figures about him weave their unearthly dance around him. He becomes a strong and handsome youth with curling auburn hair, bursting with health and vitality. And now the weaving dance stops and the shadowy dancers fade away, while in the eastern window a new dawn breaks. The youth leaps off the stone bed, wreathed in smiles, and stands before the maiden. They take each other's hands and gaze long at one another in deepest love. You see that the young king wears a crown of gold like the sun, and the maiden wears a crown of shimmering moonlight. They are the Red King and the White Queen, the polar forces of our world of duality, now conjoined in harmonious union. Now become aware of the potential for a sacred marriage within your own psyche. What would it feel like to be in a state of balance and harmony within yourself? To experience peace and wholeness in all of your being? How would the world look and behave if all human beings attained this state of inner harmony? Take some time to clearly envision this new heaven, new earth, as it might be. This is the vision of the harmony of things. And now a newly risen morning sun streams into the hall. And by its light, you see that the red and white waters have become sparkling streams of gold and silver. The young queen takes up the grail and fills it from both streams. Then she and the young king share this drink. Next, she refills the grail and hands it to you. You take a sip, aware that this is not ordinary water, for it is like drinking liquid light, and you feel as if the water of life itself is pouring through your veins, refreshing every cell in your body. You ask the queen what you can do in return for this precious gift. She tells you that you must go out into the orchard and water the trees with a living stream of light. You leave the hall and fill the grail again and again from the gold and silver river that now flows through the courtyard. You notice that the fountain has begun to send up cascades of sparkling water with a joyful sound, which is attracting butterflies and small birds. Retracing your steps through the briar thicket, you reach the orchard and pour the contents of the grail over the roots of the dead trees, until each one puts out leaves, blossoms, and finally fruit and nuts of all kinds. The wasteland has become a fragrant green paradise, filled with sunlight and birdsong. When you return to the hall, you see that the briar roses have begun to give forth buds of red and white flowers. And now the king bids you take the revivifying waters of the grail back home to heal your own world. You ask him how it can be done, and he tells you the waters of light are rivers of healing, forces that you must allow to flow through your own heart and mind. He gives you counsel on how you can use your own unique talents in service to the earth, ways that you can protect and care for all living creatures in the mineral, vegetable, animal, and human kingdoms. As he finishes speaking, a strange thing happens. King and queen merge with each other to become one being, and you recognize this figure as none other than your divine self, also known as the Holy Guardian Angel, the perfected one who you will one day become. Notice how it feels to be in the presence of your divine self. Experience the power, the wisdom, and the love, and spend time in deep communion with this part of you. Let your divine self tell you what the mission of your soul is in this lifetime. Let it give you guidance on how to proceed. When you return to your own place and time, make a commitment to attune to your divine self on a regular basis, and thus create a space for this part of you to express itself through you in your daily life. Just so will the roots of your life on earth be continually nourished and fertilized by the waters of spirit. Now open your eyes and come fully back to present time and space.